You're joining us in front of the telly. Like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Angel.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's been a while.
It's January 47th. 47th. January always goes so quickly and so slowly.
It was a little bit of a stutter step. I feel like December crawled. November shot the fuck past. Especially October.
Yeah, your favorite time.
Just shot by.
I feel like December might have been slow for you because you had to watch all those Christmas movies.
I tried. This is the first time I ever actually got into the Christmas media spirit. I'm not gonna say I was like walking around in sweaters or something, but I made it to like the 23rd. I was like, I'm out. I made it a month because Stephanie started that shit right the fuck after Thanksgiving, and I was like, all right, sure, whatever makes you happy. And then I sort of got excited, and then not ecstatic, but like, okay, well, I'm looking forward to watching this movie with you. And picking out some, and you know, looking at the, I watched some of those episodes with her, and that was the first time I was like not bah humbug. And I think it's because I'm a shut-in, and so I've been able to control the Christmas merriment, and I needed that time. I needed that cleanse. I needed a good 5 to 6 year cleanse, and I'm ready to take it in again.
Yeah, but working in retail. Pace. You begin to hate Christmas with a mighty passion. And yeah, it's nice to not have to be in that environment as much. So that
working
you can
anywhere
enjoy Christmas.
Because last job I had was IKEA, and so the Christmas shit would pop up in October, and you're like, whoa, there's like, a rule.
Can we get
isn't this a law?
Halloween?
I need to call the holiday regulation department of the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be against the law. But, nope, we made it. January. I watched a lot of stuff.
I didn't watch as much as I thought I did.
Oh, really?
Well, I watched a lot of Christmas movies, so I did not use those. I didn't go through those as part of my list, but...
When I got done, I pretty much went on a 90s. It started with disaster movies. It went into action films. And then I don't remember what the next evolution was, but I watched a lot of, I tried to watch that Moonfall movie. Talk about a hat on a hat. You ever heard that phrase? You never heard the hat on a hat phrase? I've heard it, but I've never been able to use it until Moonfall. A hat on a hat is like you did something on top of something else and then you just made it ridiculous. Like some projects, you can add stuff to the story and it makes it better. And then other projects, you're like, why are you doing another movie within this one movie? You just ruined the one movie when you could have made two good movies. Or at least one good movie and a movie. Moonfall, the first part of the premise is the moon is crushing into the earth.
Okay.
That's interesting. I want to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Also starring Neil Patrick, who was Owlman in The Watchmen, right?
Okay.
I'm starting to realize sans Bone Tomahawk, which, wow, that's a racist movie. Sans Bone Tomahawk, I'll tell you about Bone Tomahawk in a second. I think he's my new Kevin Costner Denzel, because he pops up in a lot of, like, bad movies, but I just want to watch to turn my brain off. Like, he's in all the Conjurings, because he's the husband to the teen. He's in Watchmen. He's in a bunch of movies that he just sort of pops up, and I'm like, oh, that guy. All right, well, I know what kind of movie I'm in for, because... Right. Neil Patrick's not going to let me down. I need to double check that is his fucking name. I know it's Patrick. He was in Hard Candy. But Moonfall, so the first part of the premise, the moon is crashing into the earth. That sounds cool. I want to watch that movie. Because I went directly after trying to watch Moonfall into Armageddon. Like, I want to watch that happen.
Yeah.
But, nope. It's actually... Hold on. Nope. It's actually falling into the Earth because it's a mega... Patrick Wilson. So sorry, Patrick Wilson. It's a mega structure created by alien nanobots.
The moon is?
The moon is. It's not real. It's a hollow structure full of alien nanobots who decide now's the time to take over the Earth. That's a different fucking movie. That's a hat. So you had a hat with the moon falling,
uh-huh.
and then you made it aliens in a weird flat Earth style conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
Then you just put a hat on a hat. And so now you're just ridiculous. And I couldn't fucking watch it. It was so bad. I was like, I don't care. It had the fat guy from Game of Thrones. It's like the guy going like, I know what the moon really is. No one listens to me. I'm right. And I wanted to cheer that guy on. And I was like, don't care. There's too much going on. They dusted off Donald Sutherland to basically do his JFK character to say like, yeah, we knew that the moon was fake a long time ago, but we covered it up. Good luck. I'm out. And that was his cameo. Like, it was so bad. And, so then that turned into me watching Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Then, so Moonfall?
Moonfall came out last year.
Last year? So mm-hmm. Patrick Wilson from The Conjuring?
Yes.
Patrick Wilson of Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, the people that should be together forever?
Like, yeah, I love, like, first off, the more I've learned about that real life couple,
uh-huh.
they are full of shit. Uh-huh. And horrible Oz. People. Oz. But I love them. On
played I by them. Patrick Wilson yeah. and Vera
Farmiga. I loved them yeah. in the Conjuring verse because they yeah. are they're like so they're so there for each other.
Yeah.
And they love each other so much. Mm-hmm. And they will fight the devil for each other.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll fight evil nuns.
Yep. Crazy dolls.
Yep. I watched Armageddon and then Deep Impact, and I realized that Armageddon is the MAGA version and Deep Impact is like the Aaron Sorkin version.
So the liberal version?
Yeah, like the shit lib version. Cause like they don't like yeah, it's just man, it's so crazy that those movies came out like the same year.
Mm-hmm.
They're about the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I've never actually watched Core. You know, Armageddon in reverse.
Is that what Core is?
Basically, Armageddon is an asteroid. Deep Impact's a comet hitting the Earth. What the fuck ever. An asteroid coming to Earth, but this one, Earth is fucked up. The molten core. So they got to go into the Earth instead of out, inner space instead of outer space. Yeah, but like watching them with my, you know, current watching all these movies with my current political eyes, I'm like, wow. First off, the late 90s, everybody was just scared everything's about to just stop. Y2K had people just fucked in the head.
We really were out here thinking that large projectiles were coming for us.
I still date my pictures when I do my art. I date it Y2K plus 23.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to remind people, remember when you guys lost your fucking minds over an arbitrary year that was just created? Like, the Earth doesn't give a fuck what our calendar says. Neither do asteroids. What the fuck are you guys doing?
Computers care, though, Jacob. Computers care.
Oh my god, yeah, because we got all these computers to do these things and they can't come up with 2000.
You remember how bad our technology was in 2000 compared to now?
I mean, comparatively, yes. 2000, I really hadn't fucked with the internet yet. My friends were on AIM, and I wasn't even doing that shit.
I'm trying to remember when I was more... It had to be the late 90s. because I bought my computer from Sears where I was working, mm-hmm. and had the dial up, and I was Angel of Kedar on AIM. Yeah, anyway. So I went a completely different route after the Christmas Movie Mania. Mm-hmm. Because it started with Pinocchio. Well, it started with Aladdin. Oh, and I was so like, you know what? Really? I haven't watched the live action of Aladdin. Ugh. Like, terrible or not terrible. Let's see what this is, right? And then somebody started talking about Pinocchio. So I was like, you know what? It's been so long since I've seen the cartoon Pinocchio. I watched the live action Disney one first. Then mm-hmm. I watched the Guillermo del Toro version mm-hmm. that just came out.
Yeah.
And then I watched the cartoon. And
that's like that. That's a lot of Pinocchio.
That's a lot of Pinocchio. And all surprisingly very different mm-hmm. while being very similar. And then, you know, Turning Red. I watched The Jungle Book, but I didn't really get into that one.
So which was your favorite to Pinocchio? Rate your Pinocchios. And I'm watching her nose, folks.
So it's Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, 1940 cartoon Pinocchio, live action Pinocchio.
Oh, snap. Tom Hanks gets the Razzie.
So Tom Hanks, okay. What they did to that man. Huh?
Was Pinocchio played by someone people would know, or is it just a random new Disney kid?
Pinocchio was a toy still, not played by a person.
But he was voiced.
I don't know. Let's see who voiced Pinocchio in the newest one. Benjamin Evan Ainsworth.
Yeah, it's some new Disney kid.
Yeah. He was Miles in The Haunting of Bly Manor. One of the kids. Did you ever watch that? Mm-mm. On Netflix? Mm-mm. After The Haunting of Hill House? Or The House? No.
Oh.
The Haunting of Bly Manor was the second.
I don't think I think I don't remember if I watched that one or not.
Okay. So yeah, he was voiced by someone who we haven't really seen much of. What they did to Tom Hanks to make him look like Geppetto is a travesty. And somebody should be fired. Because
was he doing so, Italian face? Pepperoni face?
It's something about the hair and like the way they had him acting out the facial expressions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I watched the live action Disney Pinocchio first. And it wasn't until I watched the cartoon, which was the third of all the ones I watched, where I realized that they did make Tom Hanks look like Geppetto. But it's not like Tom Hanks looks like Geppetto. It's they made Tom Hanks look like Geppetto. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, do you notice that difference?
Yeah, it depends on where your starting point is going to be your end result. So like if you're trying to make Tom Hanks look like Geppetto, then you're going to like make it look more like the cartoon. But if you're making Tom Hanks look like Geppetto and you want to keep Tom Hanks because you paid for Tom Hanks, because God forbid someone put on a mask. We'll get to that later. then he's going to look different, even though the words you just use, language is limiting.
It really is, because that was not good.
No.
Like, if Tom Hanks had looked like Geppetto, that might be one thing. Mm-hmm. But it was Tom Hanks, and he looked like Geppetto. You know, it's just like it was terrible. He looked bad, and he looked like Geppetto, but it's Tom Hanks' face and then all the Geppetto stuff, mm-hmm. like the hair and everything. And if that's what they were going for, then they succeeded, mm-hmm. but it was terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, probably the thing that took me the most out of the story of anything that happened was Tom Hanks as Geppetto. Oh, I didn't know that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was Jiminy Cricket. So in the story, in both of the Disney stories, Pinocchio is, you know, like naive, innocent. He wants to do things to make Geppetto proud. So he follows all the bad things because he's convinced that he believes what people tell him. But in the Guillermo del Toro version of Pinocchio, oh man.
That's my favorite part too of the old cartoon is when he's hanging out with the bad kids and then they all turn into asses.
Yeah, donkeys.
And then he grows the ears because I always, even as a kid, I liked the visual of a human turning into an animal. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but the thing that always happened when he's with those kids is when he sees the other kid turning into a donkey, he pushes his root beer away from him. That's funny to me that every one of them made sure that that part was included. the Guillermo del Toro one, I felt like was, well, so I didn't know, you know, I read more about the original story of Pinocchio after watching all of these.
Oh, Lord. But those are way more interesting.
Well, I mean, you know, like Pinocchio was basically a rascal or mischievous, wayward, confirmed rogue, you know, all of those. He was just a kid, right? Like,
that's not the version you ever see.
There's no,
like, the whole point of Pinocchio is he's got the fucking, the nose that's going to grow because he's a little piece of shit.
Right.
But all we ever see is this, like, really sweet boy who just every once in a while tells a fib.
Yeah.
And, like, fuck off.
Exactly. So, yeah, the Guillermo del Toro one, he is a, oh, what's the least kindest way to say, like, a, like, he's basically a jerk. He continues to be
a middle schooler.
He is middle schooler. Those are the
worst kids. Middle schoolers are the worst kids.
He was terrible. I mean, but it was, I felt like, way more accurate.
True. Yeah.
You know, he did want to make his Geppetto proud. He wanted Geppetto to love him, and it took a while. Geppetto lost a son during a, because they said it during World War One, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
So it's in Italy during World War One, and he loses his son to a bombardment. They blow up a church.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically drinks himself into depression and only stays by, so he's a woodcarver, of course, but he only stays by his son's tree. I think he planted the tree, and when Carlo died, and then he gets super drunk and super mad and chops the tree down and then turns it into Pinocchio. The blue fairy is a wood sprite.
Mm-hmm.
And then he basically goes on, he does all the stuff that you see in the story, but, like, people think he's a demon possessed because he's a walking, talking wooden creature.
Well, in the cartoon, everybody, like, they see a wooden boy and no one's like, oh my God, that's a wooden boy.
I mean, well, so he gets kicked out of the school and the, like, they pick him up and, like, throw him out of the schoolhouse because he goes into the schoolhouse to learn. And
that happens in the Disney one?
It happens in the live action Disney one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
I didn't watch that one, but I just remember the Disney cartoon. And I don't feel like anybody who should have been like, oh my fucking God, that's a walking action figure,
mm-hmm.
is reacting
the way that you would.
They're just like, hey, blockhead!
The best part of every one of them is the part where he sings. In Guillermo del Toro, it's Volpe. in the Disney version is Stromboli, but he performs for a you know, for a puppet show kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different puppet show in the live action Disney one, though. So he makes friends with someone, a girl, and her puppet, because she has a bum leg that is in a, not cast, but brace mm-hmm. to walk. And so she, but she would like to dance, and so she dances through her marionette.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. But of course, in the Guillermo del Toro's, they did not sing the "I've Got No Strings." So he sings a bunch of different songs, but also he's supposed to sing for Mussolini, for Volpe's circus or performing show.
He didn't. He didn't have to go there.
Guillermo del Toro did not have to go there.
I thought he picked World War One. Because we don't want to be in the middle of World War II in Italy.
Right. in the Guillermo del Toro one, because he's not a real boy, when he dies, he goes back to, if he gets, you know, if something happens to him, he goes into the afterlife, and then he comes back to life. He's resurrected.
Oh, okay.
So he learns a bunch of stuff. His immortality is a burden because he will outlive everything. Mm-hmm. So like, so the funny thing about the Mussolini scene is that, Volpe is supposed to be, you know, he's a huge Mussolini fan and gets everybody, Pinocchio has been performing this, upbeat thing that celebrates Mussolini. And but Volpe is mean to him and won't let him go, you know, back to his family. So he does a very risque, childish, like he says something, you know, talking about like smell his farts and everything.
Oh, okay.
Mussolini has Pinocchio executed in the circus bird. So that's how Jesus he dies. Crackers. I know,
right? This is dark.
Yeah. Oh, it was really dark. But he was just a little brat. Pinocchio was a fucking brat.
It makes more sense.
It was interesting though to see the different interpretations and, you know, understanding why Disney did what they did, because they did want him to be a little bratty, but initially, but then they said that what was the thing? They said that they did not want him to be unlikable. And he is highly unlikable in Guillermo del Toro's yeah. one.
Well, this also, what time, what year did the cartoon come out?
1940.
Okay. So we're not at like Red Scare delinquent children shit yet.
Right.
I was wondering if maybe that had something to do with it. Like, we can't make him too much of a bad role model.
Right. And it was funny because the original writer wrote Pinocchio as a cautionary tale. What's his name? Carlo Collodi. Mm-hmm. So Carlo Collodi wrote him as a...
middle schooler?
No. As a cautionary tale. He was... Basically, he was a kid. He was a bad kid who would mm-hmm. lie all the time and blah, blah, blah. And it was a tragedy. He was executed. The fox and the cat bind his arms, pass a noose around his throat, and hang him from the branch of an oak tree.
Oh, my gosh.
Where he dies.
This is in the original cartoon version?
No. The original, the original
That's
story.
What I was asking.
Oh, no, the oh, original oh, okay. story. And I think in both the cartoon, the live action, and Guillermo del Toro's one, we never know if he actually becomes a real boy.
He became a real boy in the cartoon.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
I don't I like said, I didn't watch the live action version. I haven't.
I forget. Yet. I think in the live action, it kind of leaves us. Okay, so like in the live action, we don't truly see him become a human boy. But Jiminy Cricket says that he becomes a real boy because he was brave and honest and selfless heart. And that he was fully real to his father. But as they're walking away, it seems like Pinocchio's limbs are, you know, whatever. But in Guillermo del Toro's, Pinocchio outlives everyone and goes off on adventures as the little wooden boy. So in Jiminy's narration, or actually it's not Jiminy Cricket, I think it's Sebastian.
One of my favorite gags on the Tick cartoon was he made a little wooden boy as a sidekick. One of my favorite parts of the Tick cartoon, one of my favorite goofs, is he got tired of Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
The Fox kid Saturday morning cartoon. He got tired of Arthur. So he made, like, he took four pieces of wood and put the hooks in and drew a face on the body part and created a new sidekick called Little Wooden Boy.
Little Wooden Boy. Yes.
Go take them out, Little Wooden Boy.
He throws them.
I love that.
But yeah, that was my biggest thing. I mean, you know, I also watched The Dragon Prince, the new season that's come out.
Mm-hmm.
It was too short. So good.
Well, so I watched the disaster movies,
mm-hmm.
and then I went on a little bit of an action jaunt, and then I went and I watched all the Riddick movies. Wow.
How many are there?
There's only three. Well, including an anime, which I think I watched when it first came out, and I wasn't in the mood to rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what sucks. I think Riddick, here's what sucks. He peaked at movie one. That's what sucks. Because Pitch Black, here's what's funny. So me and my dad went to go talk about, like, not on the internet a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my dad went to go see Pitch Black in theaters for no other reason than the trailer for the first X-Men movie was going to be on. So Pitch Black could have been dog shit for all we knew.
Yeah.
But we were there for that trailer. We paid that $7 or whatever bucks a piece for that trailer. It just so happened that Pitch Black was actually a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Having rewatched it now, I still stand behind that. It's a very understated, not super high budget movie. I think Riddick, there are a shit ton of shots. Mm-hmm. By the way, directed by the guy who wrote The Fugitive. Mm. I don't like the design of the main shadow aliens, the ones in the dark, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not important.
Okay.
I like the ambiguity of the moral character of the blonde lady, the person who was the pilot of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the bounty hunter that was trying to keep Riddick in check. I like the kid who decided Riddick was their favorite person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved, you know, I'm a Batman fan. And one of the things that I also like about Batman is the stalker nature. I like stalker characters. And so, like, you will, not a creepy way, the camera would pan following the main group, mm-hmm. and blurred in the foreground would just be Riddick. Because he's hiding from them. And they're looking for him. And there was just some really cool shots that they did. And it was super cool. The problem with the next two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Vin Diesel became the producer.
Ooh.
And I don't hate Vin Diesel as a utility player.
Okay.
Like, I liked him as Riddick in Pitch Black.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't in charge. The problem is when Vin Diesel's in charge,
mm-hmm.
that motherfucker, as we have learned through the Fast and the Furious Rock episode behind the scenes,
yeah.
and even his directors just fucking leave in the middle of movies,
mm-hmm.
of one of the most profitable franchises,
mm-hmm.
He's got an ego. He's got problems. He's hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got Pitch Black, where it's not really about Riddick, but he becomes a star, and so they want to do another movie with him. So they do Chronicles of Riddick, right? Mm-hmm. So Chronicle of Riddick is of Riddick. It's like, so like in the first movie, we have a ship that is transporting people. It takes on tiny meteorites that crash landed on this planet that just happened to have these monsters, and it's about getting off this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chronicles of Riddick, it's like, oh, well, now we're going to explore more of the world that these people lived in and what they're going to do. But then they give me, like, fucking supernatural shadow Roman Empire monsters. That's stupid. It's lame. Like, just be sci-fi. Just be cyberpunk. Just be, you know, future late-stage capitalism. Mm-hmm. That's fun. Be grimy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, no, we have to play this, like, this guy can steal your soul bullshit. It's a little bit, but not as bad as Moonfall. A hat on a hat again. You had me at Riddick, and you lost me at Shadow, and it's a Roman Empire. There's praetors, and I've been studying some Roman history, and so, like, it's right there. And so it's like, what the fuck? And of course, at the end, spoiler alert, if you're a dumbass, Riddick gets to be in charge of the Roman Empire. And that's how the movie ends. And you're like, that is the dumbest thing for this character. Like, I forgot. It's been so long since I've seen it that I was like, oh, surely he's going to refuse this. Like, if Wolverine, and that's the type of character he is. Wolverine's also a stalker character. He's a loner. I go where I want to go. He's not going to be in charge of a fucking space soul sucking Roman Empire. He's going to tell you no.
Yeah.
Kick rocks. Kick rocks, drop me off at the next planet and leave me the fuck alone. That's my first law. Leave Riddick alone. No, he sticks with it. So that's 2000. So the first movie comes out in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Pitch Black.
Yeah.
Chronicles of Riddick, I think, is 2005.
Okay.
The next movie doesn't come out until 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So now then Diesel's starting to show his age, and he's executive producer again. And now we're doing, it's been 13 years since Pitch Black. So now you're about to get some fuck. We're going to do some fan service, because we got to finish this trilogy off with some fucking fan service.
Mm-hmm.
So this time the Roman Empire turns on him, and he's left alone on the planet by himself, except now he's got a dog.
Aww.
That's fun. He gets a puppy, and literally starts off with a puppy, and it's adorable. But now Riddick's got to tame this world. And we're starting to get, I'm starting to like, okay, we're getting back to real Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, he's Wolverine. I think it is very easy to call him Space Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
He's Space Wolverine. He's taming the wilderness planet. And then but he ends up being on a planet where there's a bounty hunter depot. That's weird, but whatever. Like, there's a depot where bounty hunters go, they resupply, and then they move on with their day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how these mercenaries who are only out for themselves could have a cohesive guild strong enough to create this type of thing, but what the fuck ever. Katie Sackhoff's in it. We got Starbuck. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, two things problematic. First, we can't have a really tough girl unless she is a lesbian. Now, I don't care about lesbian representation on the thing. I'm just saying, like, I think that's a stereotype, and I almost think that's anti-LGBT. But then it ends that Vin Diesel calls his shot that by the end of this scenario, we're going to be making out. We're going to be together.
Ugh.
And then it sort of happens. So it's like, ugh. Like the same sound you just made.
Yeah.
So that was problematic. But it was cool to see Katie Sackhoff. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Love Starbuck. But it was such... The first half of the movie is Vin Diesel just trying to make himself look cool the whole time because he's Space Wolverine. And then the last 10, 15 minutes of the movie is almost like a recreation of the last 10 minutes of Pitch Black.
Mm.
because again, it had been 13 years and they wanted to do a thing, but it was just like, it was so bad. And again, like, you start off with Pitch Black. It had such, you had such a good starting point, but you couldn't get out of your own way. You had to make your, I think Vin Diesel thought he was Space Blade. He could not stop trying to make himself look cool. And it's like, you're already there by being Riddick. Stop making it more. You're being extra. Stop it. So that was my next thing.
So I got into the Star Trek
world. Which part?
So I finished Lower Decks, finally.
Awesome.
Started Strange New Worlds. I'm on episode 10.
Oh my god.
And
best Trek.
When I was watching it, at first I was just like, are they serious?
What part?
Everything. It just was like slow, kind of lumbering to me, you know, initially. Like, that's how I was looking at it, because I was thinking it's going to be like Discovery.
That's lots what I of feel about action. Discovery sometimes.
Huh?
I feel like Discovery is lumbering sometimes, especially that last season.
Oh, see, I haven't watched the last season, so I wanted to watch Strange New Worlds before I got into the last season of Discovery. And then I haven't watched the kids show yet, but I'm planning to.
Not that bad, and you know I'm not a kids show guy.
Yeah. And then I realized that it was purposeful. Like, it wasn't that it was bad storytelling so much as it was, because I found myself like entranced, even though I was like, why is it going so slow? Why isn't there more action? Why isn't, you know, like, this is what I'm thinking, right? And
because then I realized because of the charisma of Space Daddy. So Ike is enjoyable to watch.
So we were calling him was it Johnny Bravo?
Yeah, he's got Johnny Bravo
hair.
That hair by episode 3 is getting
high and higher and higher.
At first you're like, that's a lot of product, and then later it's like they're trying to make a point.
Right.
Like, and I don't mean a point. I mean, like, okay, they're trying to, like, a statement. Like, no.
This is his hair. God,
we're
going to
make
damn
you
it.
Duck when you walk into the you transporter room.
But then I realized, what I realized, or what I assumed they were trying to do is match the tone of early Star Trek shows. Yes.
It was a back to basics show.
Yeah. And it was just like, okay. Knowing that it was intentional, that the pacing and everything, even though the story was still engrossing, like, that's what we like about old Trek. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, like, I was trying to, I was telling Chris that, so I was like, I'm trying to remember how I felt the first time I watched Deep Space Nine and how campy I thought it was. Like, it was funny to me versus, like, engrossing storytelling, but eventually it became engrossing storytelling, you know? And that's what happened with this show. So, like, I started off with it, and it's just, like, the first episode is actually quite interesting. And then we get into the, you know, because it's the first episode. It was the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into the show. And that's when you really see it be slower, right? And then when I remembered how I, you know, how the original Trek was, how, what's Picard's Trek called?
TNG. Or are you talking about Picard?
No, okay. TNG. You know, I didn't watch Enterprise. I didn't watch, I did watch Janeway. And then Deep Space Nine, which is my favorite. That's how all of the Trek has gone. You know, slow pacing stories to let you fully get into the environment that we're watching, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to know people, places, you know, all of that stuff. And I like it a lot. I'm pretty excited I just saw the time travel episode. So I'm really excited to see how they end the first season.
Have you seen the storybook episode?
Yeah.
That's an episode that usually would lose me, but because I was like, this is so like back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're gonna do new visuals, but it's basically like TOS Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I'll allow it.
Yeah. I did not like what happened, but we'll
wait till you're done and we'll do a whole
spoilerific
thing.
One. But
I might even rewatch it and I won't mind doing that.
Right.
Because I watched it when it was on.
Yeah.
Silly episode. I would know, because like Picard this last season lost me as soon as she started saying, this is fucking stupid.
Is this a fucking musical?
Yeah, I was so mad. Because I was so excited by the first three eps. I'm like, this is going to be the greatest Trek ever. And it's just like, for me. But Strange New Worlds, probably one of my, like, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Like, Pike is fighting for that number one captain spot, and he's only got one season under his belt.
Yeah.
But he is so goddamn charming.
Yeah.
Hair or not. And he looks like he's having
so much fun.
Yes. I love it when people look like they're having fun, yo.
The episode where they cause a mutiny.
Well, even the episode where the storybook, where he wasn't the king of the story. Yeah. He was like the little like sniveling charlatan,
yeah.
Off to the side, changing sides based on the wind. Like, he did that, like, great. Like, Shatner never would have done something
never.
Like that, by the way.
Never.
Talk about egos again.
Yeah.
Like, him, he's still starting shit with T'Kai.
Right.
Like, in 2022, 2023, they are still doing Twitter beef. There's, like, three of them left alive.
Right. Like, just
and
get
Shatner's
along,
still trying to piss people off. But, anyway, like, no, Strange New Worlds was so awesome, and it was cool seeing Uhura as a young cadet, and
yeah.
I'm still not fully in love with this Spock, but he's not a turn off.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nurse Chapel.
I kind of am warming to this Spock, because there were times when I wasn't like looking at the screen and he would say something and I heard Leonard Nimoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like, okay. So we'll see. But
I love Rebecca Romijn. I like number one.
Yeah.
I liked her. I liked the story of her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the Soong chick, the security officer. She gets a little whiny sometimes, but what are you gonna do? Like, it can't be perfect. It can just be awesome. No, I love Strange New Worlds. It's the best. It's the best of New Trek, hands fucking down. Lower Decks, close second. Discovery, I sometimes get a little bored with. I get a little bored with. And then they did that Stacey Abrams thing, which was annoying. But yeah, you haven't seen the new episode. Yeah,
I haven't seen the new episode, so.
You heard about, she gets a cameo as like the president of Earth.
Oh yeah, I did hear
that. Because they love lavishing her with praise. But
I mean, don't get me wrong. She's written some stuff that has held my attention for a long time, or produced it. You know,
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Oh no. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't read any of her romance novels.
Yeah, I was like, that's where my head went.
Sorry. No, sorry.
Anyway.
My bad. I was thinking of the person that did Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
If
you hadn't said it. Oh, fuck. And they did a joke about it in Velma.
Shonda Rhimes? Why
there
did
we
think
go.
Stacey
yeah, yeah,
Abrams?
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you watched any of the Velma because of all the hate she's getting.
Watched any Velma. I've been seeing the hate.
I watched the first four episodes. My walk away before I heard everyone else's take from just watching the first four was like, I didn't hate it. I didn't like it. I thought the same thing I think about this that I think about a lot. I'm oversaturated on adult animation. And I feel like a lot of it's try hard. I did feel definitely this was one of them. And then I just felt like it was so muddied. It was trying to be so many things at once that it didn't know what it was. It doesn't know what it is. And I think that's what sort of fucking with people. I heard Glenn Beck thinks it's too woke. But then, yeah, they also made jokes about how, like, everyone calls everybody a Nazi. And there was another joke, too, that was like that, where, like, if you ask them, they'd probably say, oh, we're just trying to make fun of ourselves a little bit. We want to make fun of both sides. But what it came off as is just, like, pandering. Yeah, that's my initial take on Velma, but Jesus, everybody hates this fucking show.
It's just like nobody likes it. It's crazy.
Can we talk about something else that no one likes that we liked? Or you want to hold off on that for a second because you got something?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I still don't get why everyone hates Black Adam as much as they do. I had a conversation about it. I want to say this for. I had a conversation about it with someone in our Facebook group, on Facebook, in front of the telly. You're there. We'll have conversations, if you want to tell me how wrong I am. And they try. And the person who was arguing with me said, "I think the overall movie is lazy writing." And I just watched Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet Curiosities, and she watched something else too. And I was like, and I went and watched those things. I was like, that's completely unfair. Like, first off, you're mad that Black Adam, a 2.5 hour movie, didn't do what a Guillermo del Toro 12 episode, 1 hour a piece, all based off short stories, including by prolific writers like, who's the Cthulhu guy?
Lovecraft.
Written by a prolific writer like Lovecraft. I'm not saying he's great, saying, but he's prolific. And he wrote short stories, and they made stories off of those. So I'm just like, that's not fair.
Right.
Then there was another project that she also said, like, well, I watched that too, and it was awesome, and so I'm not settling for bad stuff. And I was, again, different apples and oranges here.
Right. I mean, I get it. If you don't want to watch a comic book movie, then don't watch a comic book movie. And what you get from a comic book movie will be different than what you're going to get from, you know, like a TV show by one of the most imaginative directors of all time, from the writings and works of one of the most imaginative horror writers. I mean, he was imaginative, terrible, but imaginative.
Racist, but what imaginative.
But imaginative.
I'm not, here's a problem.
Versus DC Comics. I mean, like.
Helmed by The Rock.
And, you know, like, somebody was like, the characters weren't likable, and, you know, like, you know, just all these different things, right? But it's like, first of all, I love watching, I mean, just visually watching this movie. There were so many great visual moments.
I agree.
I felt like Noah Centineo's character was just hilarious enough without being...
Who's that?
That was the guy that grew really big.
Oh, Adam Smasher.
Adam Smasher. Was just silly, you know, like just silly enough to connect you with all the characters he's interacting with based on how they interact with him, you know? Who was Hawkman?
Oh, you always remember his name, and I would just call him Hawkman.
Yeah, and I can't remember his name right now. I love him.
He was great. He was a great foil.
I think so. Black Adam. Somebody said that. Who was the wizard?
Oh, Dr. Fate.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. But what's the actor?
Pierce Brosnan.
Somebody said Pierce Brosnan realized how bad the movie was going to be and chose to die instead of carry on.
I do love this. Even people who hate it, at worst, will just say he was okay.
Right.
Cool. I'm a Pierce Brosnan fan, and a Dr. Fate fan. So I was. Mm-hmm. This is the problem. My thing isn't like, I love this movie, it's the greatest movie.
Right.
It's just not as bad as you guys keep saying it is.
For whatever reason.
We both had to, I'm sure you did too, went in with like the lowest of expectations.
Completely low, because everybody hated it. I was like, at least I'm going to say, Aldous Hodge is the name of the guy that plays Hawkman. But at least, at least I'm going to see Aldous Hodge. I loved his haircut, you know. Quintessa Swindell, like, completely blew me away. She's gorgeous. And the imagery that they had of her as Cyclone was so good. And, that made me happy. Sarah Shahi, I love seeing her in stuff. She's been on a lot of TV shows that I like.
Is that the mom character?
That's the mom. Uh-huh.
She was great. She was great.
I think so,
I
too.
Loved her.
Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he was fine. I mean, it was fine. What's the problem?
You would have thought The Rock, even though he wrestled during the Attitude Era with Steve Austin and him, you would have thought that this movie created the term anti-hero.
Right.
Jesus Christ. He kept having to define it like I've never thought of the concept.
Right.
He's not a hero, but he does good things. And right. Does bad things. He does good things, but badly. What?
He does bad things well.
I'm the best at what I do, and what I do ain't pretty. Yeah, no, I've heard.
We know. We get it.
I know what it is. You don't have to keep telling me.
Yeah.
But it was fun every time he was like giving a fuck you to Hawkman. Mm-hmm. Or throwing someone 5 miles away.
When he realized that he killed the guy? or he threw him and he didn't die until after.
You didn't kill him, did you? Now I have, yes. I thought the jokes were funny. They hit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, stuff I didn't like. I didn't like that fucking plane that had everything on it. Mm-hmm. To the point where Kent Nelson walks in a dinner jacket, like he's about to go to bed. I'm like, what the fuck? First off, you're on a jet, and it takes you overnight to follow a dump truck to its destination? What the fuck? And then it had a med lab? What the fuck? This isn't Star Trek, where we just sit on the spaceship and we're in orbit. Like, it was so, like, that was, like, too convenient of a plot device. I don't think they used, everybody talks about how Cyclone was pretty, but I don't think they used her enough.
I don't think they used her enough either.
She was pretty useless. Like, they started talking about how, like, she's got the IQ of a supercomputer, but can do whirlwinds. She didn't do anything smart.
She did. It was part of the stuff she was doing that helped them see that the thing was backwards. And then she...
I thought the mom figured that out.
Well, the mom read it. Like, saw that it that what she was doing, based on what she was doing. Anyway, she did...
left with the impression.
She technically did some smart stuff. Supposedly smart stuff, but...
The only thing she didn't use enough. The only thing that she did that I thought was really cool is, do you know what the fastball special is?
Mm-mm.
That's when Wolverine curls into a ball and Colossus throws him at somebody. And so when she threw Atom Smasher and then he grew and fell, that was a cool move.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, me and Stephanie were both like, what the fuck is everyone upset about? So I went and we looked at a couple of different video reviews, and there was one that was just like all the fucking way over the place. And I went over the points with you, so I want to look them up real quick, because it was like, the first part was, there was too much exposition. Okay. Like, you don't want an origin story, and so they're just going to tell you something real quick. What the fuck's your problem?
Right.
But then the next criticism was, there's too much action. What the fuck? Like, what do you want?
Right.
You don't want them to tell you or show you. Well, bud, I don't know what else you think a movie is.
Right. Then get the book.
Yeah, like, and let me
That'll be way too much exposition.
Yeah, especially some writers do that. They said he's too powerful. I'm like, I never hear that about Superman. That's my biggest complaint, mm-hmm. is that he's too powerful and he always makes the right decision. So what's the fucking conflict?
Right.
Black Adam, at least, like, is an anti-hero, as he makes very clear.
Yeah.
So you don't know what decisions he's going to make and why he's going to make them. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't, but again, you can't give me that he's too powerful and then be upset that Henry Cavill's not Superman.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck. So they also said, and the person in the group also said, like, they didn't justify any of the things that happened. I completely disagree with that.
What you mean, justify?
I don't fully understand what they meant by that, but I did hear that the themes were too simplistic, and I completely disagree. I found some very interesting and cool politics, mm-hmm. and themes in this movie.
Yeah.
The biggest one, and I want to point out, and again, I was told this was another sign that they didn't justify anything. I completely disagree. Is, so when we Kandahar, right? That's the name, mm-hmm. of the place. This is a made-up Middle Eastern country,
right.
that is run by a international organized crime organization. Which, by the way,
it's Kandak. Kandahar is real.
Oh. Which would come in and out of play depending on the plot. Like, again, not the best movie. Mm-hmm. And the Justice Society shows up to take care of Black Adam. Because as Hawkman says, we're here to keep global order.
Right.
And that implies what the mom points out. So global order is us being occupied by criminals.
Mm-hmm.
So when Intergang is controlling everything about my country, you don't give a shit until we get our own WMD.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's throwing off the power dynamics of the whole globe. So now we got to do something about it.
Right.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
I think that's very sophisticated politics for it to, and let me be clear, explicitly like said.
Right.
Like, not like undertones, mm-hmm. or we sort of put, you know, fuck.
Where you have to guess what they're talking about or anything.
You need me to put it together for you, like they fucking say it.
Yeah.
Global order means you are under a military coup. Are under a criminal coup.
Mm-hmm.
And it is only till you get someone who can actually help you and change that order that we now, as the hegemonic protectors, come in. I mean, the JSA, it's Justice Society of America.
Yeah, right.
it's America imperialism.
Right, like straight up.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? I thought that was super cool. We loved it. Stephanie was so confused and upset with how much people didn't like this movie that she's just ready to call anybody who doesn't like it racist. She's like, oh, you can't see a brown man be a Superman, and you can't have this brown country come up and take care of themselves. They also had self-liberation politics.
Yeah.
When during the climax, I can't remember if it was the mom or the son, got the people to liberate themselves.
Yeah.
Like, there was some real, like, subversive shit in here.
Mm-hmm.
And explicit. Like, you don't need a hero. He's gonna help, but that's not the beginning and ending of our work. Like, that's there. And
Well, you know, I mean, like, they were able to work on their own liberation because they had somebody backing them up, and what they didn't, and they didn't get that from the Justice League of America or for any imperialist country, mm-hmm. you know, coming in. They let happen whatever happens, just like we do, you know, like just like all these countries do now. If it's terrible, then, you know, we're not going to do anything. And if it threatens us, then we're going to do something. And that's exactly what happened. And she called them out. And they couldn't say anything about it because they knew that it was true. And, you know, how that leads them to helping Black Adam, especially in the end, is something. But, you know, I like that he basically was kicking their ass the whole time. Yeah.
I mean, look, again, not a perfect movie. So not,
no.
Time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a plot device.
Yeah.
I heard one person, this same guy too, in IGN, was just like, oh my God, Dr. Fate was just doing the same magic effects as Dr. Strange. Hello. It's like, okay, first off, asshole, Dr. Fate's been here since, like, goddamn World War II.
Right.
He works for the Lords of Order. So if anybody's going to do magic and create geometric shapes, I don't know. I think that's the motherfucker who gets to do it. And if it looks the same, who gives a shit? Have you also not been paying attention to comic books? And this guy I know has. There's always a, that's Marvel's Dr. Fate. That's mm-hmm. DC's Hulk.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's just unfair criticisms against this movie that upset me. Is it bad? Is it poorly paced? Is the Inner Gang not? I mean, Inner Gang's so powerful that they have the bureaucracy for checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, we just don't see them anymore.
Right.
And also, too, they have Wakanda metal. They have vibranium, basically. Yeah. Where they made, but all they did was make hover bikes with it. And some cannons.
Well, they had a plane. They had some flying things.
The point is, Wakanda found vibranium and they made Wakanda.
Right.
Like, they didn't just use it to make their own jets and missiles.
And weapons and shit.
Like they made an entire culture.
They
out
made
of
their
it.
Things better because they weren't a gang that was only after money.
They weren't keeping it for themselves at the top.
Yeah.
Which, you know, could have also been something they touched on, but Jesus, the movie was long enough.
It was, yeah. I mean, it's just like, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to watch it again. Probably will. But I also didn't hate it. Like, I didn't walk away from it like, what bullshit did I just watch? I had fun, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny that The Rock could never say his catchphrase before he killed somebody.
Yeah, that was, someone said, that's like Terminator 2 when John Connor taught the T-800 hasta la vista. It's like, I'm so sorry that a movie is like another movie from 30 years ago. I know you just watched T2 for the 50th time 2 weeks ago, but I think we can pay homage to a movie that's decades from its time. Like, it didn't steal anything.
Right.
And also, too, so now movies aren't allowed. A gruff character isn't allowed to have its edges sanded off a little bit by having a kid sidekick that teaches them humanity. Oh my God, that's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, yes, I have criticisms about this movie too. Yes, there are lazy writing parts. I can fucking point them out to you. There are superfluous characters. There's characters that aren't there anymore for some reason. It's not a perfect movie. I have no problems with them taking it off the roster. Like, it's a one and done. It. But, like, it's just the criticisms that I do hear are just not fair. They're just not fair.
Yeah.
It's not even a matter of, like, they're wrong. It's just not even fair if they're right. I don't give a fuck.
Right. Yeah, so you heard it here first. We actually liked Black Adam just fine.
And if you, you know, smell what the
rock's doing. It's okay if you hated it. You know,
yeah, also too, yeah.
It doesn't bother us, but it's just weird how many people wrote that, how much they hated it when it was fine.
I think it's all CIA. They're all CIA. They don't want us to talk about the global order.
Maybe.
By the way, I just don't get it. And then you do hear I am sort of glad they canceled the project, though, because did you hear all the behind the scenes stuff? Mm-mm. Where, like, The Rock's starting to tell people what they should be doing, and he was basically just going to start his little fiefdom within the DCEU. And then he got, like, real mad when it got cut. But, you know, you do feel bad that he's been working on this for 15 years. I didn't realize it had been 15 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The Rock wanted to be Teth Adam for 15 years?
Yes. He was like, this was like a labor of love for this motherfucker.
Oh, man.
So I am sad that, like, he thought this was going to be his deal. There goes. Yeah, and then I heard Young Rock, I think, is getting canceled. He's having a bad day all over.
Did he do anything?
Like, is he canceled or something?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Just not people, like, I the think, Rick and Morty guy?
No, Jesus. Wow. That imploded quickly. It's like, I came to that news like a day or two late, and they're like, oh yeah, this is like, he's got felony level domestic abuse charges. It's like, Jesus, goddamn. And then the next, like, oh yeah, also he's been like texting teenagers to come to sex parties.
Oh.
What the fuck? And the guy who did a lot of Gravity Falls, one of the main characters for Gravity Falls, he was also trying to hook him up with an underage girl. Jesus, there's no, the last I heard, as of recording this, that's not like that. Adam Hirsch hasn't done anything wrong, but, and then that brought up old stuff with Dan Harmon about some kind of fucking movie he made, video short he made in like 2009 called Daryl.
Yeah.
That he had already apologized, and basically that's what, like, got him off Twitter. So now people are bringing that back up. It's just like, Jesus, that's... And here's the thing, like, Dan Harmon's under contract. I don't think we're going to get more. Even if Dan Harmon finishes these episodes they've already paid for without Roiland, I don't think we're going to get more.
You think it's over?
I think whether he does or doesn't finish these episodes, I don't think we're going to do more Rick and Morty. I don't think the fans are going to. That's a not fun fan group, and they are not going to be upset. They're going to be upset that he got canceled for whatever fucking reason.
Yeah. Well,
have you seen the Tater Tots try to pretend that all that guy's shit's made up? Like, they're going to do the same fucking thing with this guy.
What, Tater Tots?
That's what people call Andrew Tate's followers. Tater Tots.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm terminally online. Sorry.
Yeah, I am not in that way.
So yeah, I watched a lot of action movies from the mid '90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, Armageddon is totally MAGA version. It's just all fucking American flags and hurrah!
Was Armageddon? Was Bruce Willis in Armageddon?
Yes, Bruce Willis, the working man who owned an $8 million oil company. Really?
Yeah,
he's the roughneck.
Mm-hmm.
So again, petite bourgeois, like, these are the people who are the worst of the people who fund and fuel this MAGA movement the most. Versus Deep Impact, where...
Who was the lead for Deep Impact?
Well, first off, I mean, this is like prototype Obama, because this Morgan Freeman being the president was like a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
And their idea was just like, well, we're going to throw a rocket at it. And if that don't work, we're just going to get in a bunker. Like, it's almost like, even though they did send Robert Duvall and John Favreau, a very young John Favreau.
Billy Bob Thornton was in this one, or was it?
That's Armageddon.
Oh, okay.
Again, you're going to have a Billy Bob. That's going to be in the MAGA one. Robert Duvall and John Favreau and a couple other people you recognize, but I don't remember fucking names. Yes, they do send them on a mission to take care of the comet. At the same time, they also there is sort of a defeatist vibe throughout the whole movie. Like, we're just gonna have to ride this out. Like, that's not even, Whereas Armageddon's like, who? Yahoo! We're gonna fuck this asteroid up!
Fuck this comet up.
I'm gonna blow the fuck out of this thing! I don't give a shit! America! And then Deep Impact's like, well, I guess we're gonna stock up in Shure and just hang out in a cave for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so, and it starts out too, and it thinks it's so smart. Like, again, the politics are all fucked. Mm-hmm. It's not, it's completely unrealistic. But because it addresses certain real world complications, if this was real, it has a smugness to it,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, at first, we're following this reporter who thinks that the Treasury Secretary is resigning because he's had an affair with someone named Ellie. And then that turns out to be, no, he resigns because he doesn't think the president's comet mission is going to work. And it actually stands for ELE, extermination
level event.
And because, like, oh, we got the scandal intrigue, that's real. And then when that news is released, Morgan Freeman's like, I'm demanding price freezes and wage freezes. And it's like, that's a real world thing. But then, like, it goes off from there. It's like, that's unrealistic. That wouldn't happen. Nope. Sorry. Like, it is very Aaron Sorkin in that way, where it's like, it gets a couple of things right and then just goes off.
Yeah.
And again, the whole time, it's just, we're so smug because we're so smart. And yet Armageddon's just like full of fucking sweat and piss and BO and just like, nah, fuck this shit. I'm a fucking, they get in contact with, like, in Deep Impact, astronauts are like the fucking STEM lords, and we're supposed to think they're the smartest people and most bravest people that we ever could have put in a goddamn rocket. Meanwhile, on Armageddon, they bring the oil rigs there to meet the astronauts, and they immediately just go, fucking these losers! That's who we gotta go with? Fuck these people! They don't know what the fuck they're doing! You ever been in space? No, but I can fucking do it! They put them through the psyche valve, and they all break, and they're just like, I don't give a shit about these eggheads, just put a drill between my legs and let's go!
Yeah.
Just ones, like, we won't do, fine, we won't do MAGA and MSNBC, but we'll do id and super ego. and Armageddon is an id. And that's why, whatever you say about it, it's just more fun.
Yeah.
I love how one of their demands is, and I, you know, I don't know what I think about this, but one of their demands is like, yeah, they don't want to pay taxes. Like, ever after this. You know what? That's sort of reasonable.
Yeah. I wouldn't either. If I could die.
It plays into that libertarian taxation of stuff. Oh, this fucking government, they're going to take their piece of the pie. But on the other hand, you did just save the planet.
Yeah.
You get a free ride.
Right.
You know what? We're going to throw health care.
It's not even a free ride. It's just you don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
What service were those movies on?
Oh, my Lanta. I want to say HBO, but I'll double check that for you.
Okay.
And then you got the core. Okay. You got the core with the Tooch. The it stars Aaron Eckhart, Hilary Swank, because this is the beginning of her run. And then the Tooch, Stanley Tucci.
Okay.
And then, oh my gosh. Do you remember The Wire? The guy who was, like, in charge of the school portion of the story.
Is that was the fourth season, right? Third season?
Oh, my Lanta. I'll just tell you. I looked it up.
Okay.
And Delroy Lindo.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Bruce Greenwood.
Delroy Lindo?
Yep, that's your crew. Oh, and a random Russian guy. That's your crew. Oh, that was the other thing about Armageddon, right? So, like, the first part of the mission is they leave Earth and they get to the Russian space station to fuel up. This is just how, like, just dumb this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we meet the Russian guy played by, this is, to be fair, this is when I fell in love with this actor, Peter Stormare.
Oh, mm-hmm.
All you guys got to be cowboys. Don't touch my uncle, very, very famous cosmonaut. You don't, everybody in Russia, everybody in America, gotta be cowboys. It's like, bro, This movie came out in 1997. The wall fell so long ago. Why? Like, he's wearing the cap with the communist pin. Mm-hmm. He's got CCP t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Like, motherfucker. Like, guys, this is like, so they can't fathom a Russian who's not a communist. Even though we are so far past that.
Yeah.
We gotta play into the Cold War shit.
I literally love Peter Stormare so much. He is so funny to me.
I love him too.
The only reason that I even always go to John Wick 2 is because I love watching the beginning scene where he describes John Wick killing the guys in the bar with a pencil. He's so funny.
He was great in Fargo. This is where, I mean, to be fair, I saw this movie when it came out in theaters.
I did too.
And this is where I met him, and mm-hmm. I fell in love with him immediately. And then I saw Fargo. And then a really cool and cheap game that he's in, that where he just gets to eat the scenery a little bit, is Until Dawn,
mm-hmm.
which is a very movie-like game for those who don't play video games. It's like $20 at this point. It's one of like the greatest hits collection, but the movie is you playing as teenagers in a cabin in the woods being attacked by monsters.
Mm.
So it's like that. It's even got the kid from Mr. Robot in it, like, and the main star is Hayden Panettiere, and the guy who played Ward on S.H.I.E.L.D. is in it.
Huh.
And in between chapters, you visit an imaginary therapist played by Peter Stormare.
Mm.
And he starts calling you crazy. And he'll give you a test like, do you think worms are grosser than rats? And depending on what you choose, is like building the next chapter of the game to be tailored to you.
Mm.
Super awesome. Until Dawn. But yeah, so Armageddon, Deep Impact. We should do Volcano and Dante's Fire at some point, because that was the other time where two movies of the same fucking subject came out like at the same time.
Hmm.
Angel's not interested in that.
No.
I'll save that for another break. But I don't think the differences are going to be as stark as
just Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Literally, like, how you knew that someone knew what was up is the reporter would notice them packing up a bunch of insure. Like, that's how, like, just lame. Just lame this movie is.
Mm. That's funny. Yeah.
So that's what I was up to during the break.
Yeah.
Watched a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I started a few things that I didn't. I started The Bad Batch and realized I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Not the first episode, so maybe I need to get past it, but
I haven't watched it. I will eventually make my way through the CGI series.
Yeah, I mean, because I do want to rewatch
Clone Wars.
Especially since they did have a new season that they released, you know, in the last couple of years.
Evidently, to get the most out of the next season of Mandalorian, you got to watch Rebels. You won't be lost without it, but there's a lot of callbacks.
That's what you heard?
That's what I heard from Screen Crush.
Mm.
As they broke down the latest trailer.
And then I tried to start Andor.
And I watched that.
Do you like it?
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. So the first three episodes are a slog.
Okay. Okay.
But you got to watch it because everyone talks about it and it ends up getting better.
Okay.
And then it almost ends up being like three seasons worth in one season, but I will.
It feels like it.
That first third is the straw is the log.
I was just like, this is still the first episode. And then two things are happening in the first episode. So I'm like, is this in the past? And then we're watching the present. So, you know, I'll figure it out as we go. But it's just like, but one thing I do like is that they're acting like their viewers can figure it out.
Yes. No, they don't.
And I like that. So that's the only reason that it's still on the playlist. And I was hoping you said that you did like it and that you give me that you would give me how many episodes I have to get through to get to the part that everybody that makes everybody think is good. Because, you know, sometimes like you watch the first few things and you need the first few things to be the way that they were to get you to where you need to be. And I'm okay with that, but I need to know that that's what's happening and it's not like wasting my fucking time.
They're setting a table, but they're setting a very, they're setting a table very slowly. I agree.
I just needed, oh, you know.
I tell you, a show I'm having a hard time with is fucking Willow.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. So, you know, I haven't started watching Willow. I haven't started watching National Treasure. I'm waiting for these to end so that I
can... Willow's done, ain't it?
Is it done?
I think so. I can check real quick.
Yeah.
I even made Stephanie sit down and rewatch
the movie,
because I was like, well, I'm not going to be explaining this to over and over again. Eight episodes.
That's all it's gonna have
this season. Yeah, okay. We rewatched the movie, and I had to convince Stephanie to do this because she thought, "Oh, I don't want to watch a kids movie." I've told her like, "Oh, I liked the dark kids movies growing up, like Labyrinth and
Dark Crystal."
She don't like that shit. Mm. I don't, you know, she's boring. What do you want to tell you? She comes from a family of boring, so it's the Floribama. It's not her fault. So I got her to sit down and she was like, "Oh no, this is good." I was like, "Yes." And that baby's adorable. Mm-hmm. Yes, she is. So then the next night we start with the first episode and it focuses so much on like 20-year-olds who are trying to figure out what the fuck they're doing. And I'm just like, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. Right. I don't care. I don't care. Where the fuck is Warwick Davis?
Right. That's it. I'm here for Warwick Davis. The end. Warwick Davis is.
I don't know. It was fun trying to. It was fun trying to figure out who Alora Danning was, but it's like, oh well, Alora Danning would be 35 years old, so they are not keeping up with the timeline.
Right.
But I wouldn't say it picks up, but it's gotten slightly better. But oh my god, when we're supposed to sit down and watch stuff, I'm like, do I want to watch Willow?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I have to talk myself into it. So it's been hard.
Okay.
Fantasy's not my immediate setting.
Really?
No. I don't hate it at all. But if, like, say this story was happening in, like, Mad Max world, I'd be like, I want to see everything that's about to happen. Like, as far as, like, design stuff, that's way more interesting to me.
Okay.
And I'm having a hard time. We're talking about ongoing shows or shows that we're in the middle of. Last of Us is amazing.
Mm.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Probably because the same guy who is in charge of the game is the showrunner.
Oh, cool.
So where things depart, there's a narrative reason.
Because,
like, the story's going to be the same, but in the game, you got to justify reasons for me to do this puzzle or to be in this firefight.
Right.
So, perfect example is they're at the Capitol building in Boston and they need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And in the video game, that is when the FEMA officers come up and then Joel has a firefight with them. But instead of that, in the show, they just had a rush on of the zombies. They have a rush on the zombies. Because narratively, you can get them out real quick. You don't have to sit around for the next 10 minutes as Joel, like, hides behind barricades and shoots at random officers.
Yeah, I saw a meme where it was just like, I'm watching The Last of Us, and this is going way better than me playing the video game because he doesn't die every 2 seconds.
Yeah. So, like, there are changes. Like, another thing, and this is where I said we'll talk about the mask later, because So, like, in the video game, there's spores in the air, and so you got to put on a mask. Mm-hmm. And when Joel and Ellie come across their first set of spores, Ellie doesn't have to wear a mask because she's immune.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of her. I'm not spoiling anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when Joel believes her.
Mm.
But in the show, because God forbid we pay for Pedro Pascal and maybe put him in a gas mask for 5 minutes, no, we cannot have that. They don't do the spores in the air.
Mm.
So again, there's changes that are made. I've never expected a full adaptation of anything. So I'm okay with it. And as long and if the original writer and showrunner of the game is doing the show, then mm-hmm. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to play along, but I just want to keep playing. So basically, I started a new game on hard, and I'm playing that along with the show, and then I'm taking the difficulty up one more level and gonna try to keep up so mm-hmm. that I can keep playing, but I'm not
going too fast for the show.
Yeah, so it's hard because it is such a good game. And if anybody listening again doesn't play video games or whatever, you can go on YouTube and they'll have people that just stitch the cutscenes together and you can watch it as a show.
Yeah.
And it's really good. Especially the second one.
Yeah.
That's almost why I'm replaying the first one, so that I can go and replay the second one. It was so good. But yeah, Last of Us is awesome, perfect. Pedro Pascal is just wolf and cub for the next however long years, and he'll take that check.
But, is that Pedro Pascal that's playing Mandalorian?
Yep. So he's wolf and cub in that.
Mm-hmm.
He's wolf and cub in this. I hope people don't get upset. Jesus, because God forbid we have a story that's somewhat similar to another story. It's not as if there's only seven narratives in existence that we just keep trying to do different combinations of yeah. over and over again. God damn.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so I'm going to keep doing the Trek stuff. Of course, I had to redo a conference show, Parks and Rec, and have already gotten through some of my favorite episodes. Still very angry about Louis C.K. and hate watching him in the episodes that he's in. And like, he's not even funny anymore to me because of all of that. And I hate it because he used to be so funny to me. But I'm glad because... Fuck him.
Stephanie is turning hard on Chris Pratt. She loves Park and Rec. She loved Chris Pratt. And mm-hmm. ever since she heard about him cheating on Anna Faris and being involved with that church, and she don't know this yet, but he also like literally endorsed the Republican LA mayor candidate. Like, she is no.
Yeah.
Oh, we watched... Yeah, because we watched that last Jurassic Park.
Oh, I have what not watched the newest Jurassic Park.
What a waste of time.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, really? Since the dragons, the lizards escape into the real world, it's gotten terrible.
it's actually more about bugs. Yep. Spends way more time on bugs.
Oh man.
But yeah, so you're Parks and Rec.
Yeah, so I redid Parks and Rec, of course, and it's like I want to rewatch all the Lower Decks because I really like Mariner's Journey in this mm-hmm. last season.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were parts of me that was just like, dang, is she ever gonna change?
Mm-hmm.
And then she just does so much goddamn changing. It was amazing, you know? Anyway, yeah, so the newest Lower Decks was really good to me. I want to rewatch it all again. And then I want to rewatch. So I watched the Jungle Book live action and cartoon.
Jeez, you just went on a tear.
Yeah.
Were any of the live actions good? I half liked Lady and the Tramp.
So I haven't gotten to Lady and the Tramp and Dumbo.
Oh God, I don't want to touch that one.
I think the hard part is going to be rewatching the old Dumbo, the yep. cartoon.
I've explored. I've, yep, I get that. Jacob's first favorite movie is Super Racist. Yep. I was talking to somebody about that recently. I was like, the motherfucker's name was Jim.
Jim Crow.
The crow's name was fucking Jim.
Yeah.
Because I was hanging out with these people, which, by the way, did not like that I brought up the fact that Wonder Woman raped that guy in her in the movie.
Yeah.
I got the, oh, we're too woke. We're that type of woke look.
Yeah. But that's what happened.
I'm sorry, that's what happened. But yeah, we talked about Dumbo too, and I was like, dude, the crow's name was Jim. Like, I fought that. I didn't fight it hard. Mm-hmm. I just sort of like, I don't know, I don't see it. Because I didn't think about it
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid. I don't feel like that movie, I mean, maybe it was part of a brick wall of white supremacy in my life, but like that movie specifically, I didn't go, oh, black people are hobos. And so I fought that for, I pushed back against it for a while. And then when I found out the motherfucker's name was Jim, I was like,
okay. Right. Like it was explicit. They told you.
Yeah, like, Walt. You know, it's like this Biden documents thing. Like, I'm not even arguing. You guys are fucked up. I can't, I'm out of this.
Somebody in my office was just like, just stop searching. Everybody has a secret document. Well, not secret.
I told Steph from day one, documents. I was like, look, we definitely believe more transparency. I think they overclassify shit.
Yeah.
That's how this all happened to mm-hmm. everybody. But like, even though it is not like, even though Trump did like try not to give them back to the point where they had to like take them,
yeah,
that's not even, no one's gonna give a fuck. We look, why defend these people? Invest, lock them up, all of them,
arrest
all of them. Biden, yeah. Pence, they found some at Pence's house,
yep.
Trump, lock them all up. I guillotine, I don't care, just bow,
just get rid of them.
I've had a couple of arguments where I've like quote unquote defended Biden because I've heard a lot of Republicans say like Biden claimed war against the oil industry. And when I've argued that with people, it's like, nope, lobbyists, like the only people saying this are lobbyists. That one I've like gotten in the mud with.
Mm-hmm.
This one, fuck it. Nope.
Like, not arguing. Yep, Biden.
Why am I going to waste my time?
The same thing that I want to happen to Trump for having him is what I want to happen to Biden is what I want to happen to Pence.
Guillotine all of them. Don't start over.
Start from scratch, and then you know, I don't know.
I don't remember how that came up, but
yeah,
that's what we did on our break. I watched a lot of movies.
I watched a lot of TV shows that I have watched a million times.
Oh, we're talking about Star Trek. That's what.
Yeah, Star Trek. Yeah.
I my favorite journey actually, or like getting to learn the story behind, is Rutherford, especially in that last.
Oh game. God, yeah,
that was super interesting.
That was really exciting. Like I did not know, and the older Rutherford,
yeah,
or younger Rutherford, I guess. Mm-hmm. Old Rutherford, younger Rutherford, just a different guy altogether, you know. And I love that dichotomy in him as well. But
I want to learn more about Boimler's, because I think it's claimed that his transporter clone is dead, but he's not really dead, right?
Yeah.
I want to learn more of that. Mm-hmm. And I want more of Tendi's backstory.
Yeah,
that's what I want in the next season.
Yeah. So the guy that was the other, what type of race is Tendi? Orion. When she was the other Orion.
Awesome. I think, wasn't that the episode where Mariner and Boimler were at the booth?
Maybe.
Because that episode's the greatest, when Boimler just loses it on all the conspiracy theorists people.
Yeah. What is it? Fortune favors the bold. They do, like when they were in Deep Space Nine.
Yes. Just swing around and look at the pylons. And then the music. Oh, that was great.
That was great. Yeah. Is that the only Star Trek comedy?
Straight up comedy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, comedy's the main thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's there's some fun things in Star Trek, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fun things and funny things and all that stuff, but for sure. All right. Yeah, that's what we did over our break, too. We're like, it's so funny. We're like totally different entertainment viewers.
I gotta tell you about something that I found out about. I'm so sorry, but okay. I gotta tell you this.
Okay.
So I was sitting, I got an Apple TV, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was fucking around with the Amazon Prime app.
Uh-huh.
And it has live television.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, what the fuck is this? Because I was just sitting with the fucking dog, mm-hmm. trying to spend some time with him. I don't usually spend time in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me check this out. And so it has live channels that you can channel surf on. Mm-hmm. And get that sensation.
Yeah.
One of the channels, literally Leverage, 24/7.
What?
There was a Leverage channel. I don't know how you get to that on desktop. But on Apple TV, on the Amazon Prime app, you go to live channels, and there's a Leverage channel.
I don't know how you get to it either. Well, I guess I got to get an Apple TV now. Oh, I watched some stuff on Amazon Prime. What did I watch? Oh, Kids in the Hall. Okay. Sanford and Son. I tried to watch The Bad Guys or whatever. I fell asleep twice.
Oh, no.
But I don't know if it was just because I was tired and was high or if it was, like, not that great of a movie.
The art looked good. I
like the art, yeah. But
I might actually rent something here soon.
What's that?
Oh, boy.
Leverage 24/7, huh?
Yeah. I wish it was a link I could send you, but I don't know how that would work. Triangle of Sadness. You can rent it for like $5. And I usually don't rent shit.
Mm-hmm.
But on a lefty news site I follow, they said like it's very Marx for Beginners.
What's it called?
Triangle of Sadness. You should check out the trailer. I shared it in the group at one point.
Okay.
It's these rich people on this luxury yacht.
Mm-hmm.
And then it crash lands.
Mm.
And so you've got the workers having to deal with these rich assholes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to wait for it to get to free streaming. So it might be something that I'll actually throw the $3 or $5 to rent.
Hmm.
Sorry, that came up in my stuff today. Oh, okay. I'm gonna done. I've got other movies I watched and I with my new politic eyes, and I was like, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Downsizing? Ugh. Such promise and then sucked.
Well, so Chris asked me what the Marxist interpretation of Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio was, and I was like, I don't even know what the actual interpretation of Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio is, like, much less to get into the Marxist interpretation of it. But, well, you know, like,
Pinocchio at least sounded Antifa. Fuck Mussolini.
Fuck Mussolini. But he didn't do it because fuck Mussolini. He did it because folk Volpe. So,
Mussolini,
you know,
got a whatever. Wet willy. That's all I care about.
You know, it's just like taking a materialist view of the, you know, like the things that are happening in what I watch. And it's definitely, definitely more materialist than the cartoon or the live action Disney version. So, you know, it's just like, oh, that's something to think about, you know, like to analyze it in that as respect and see what the takeaways are. But yeah, I mean, it's just like, first you have to try to figure out what the original writer was trying to say. Then what is Guillermo del Toro trying to say by doing this, right? Especially the way that he did it. Like, why set it in World War One? You know, I mean, I knew it was going to, you knew it was going to be in Italy. It didn't have to be World War One. So there was a reason for that. What's the reason, you know? You know, did he just want to have somebody, like, piss off Mussolini in a movie or, you know, what? And then go from there to, like, you know, somebody who isn't Marxist did a show that has a material view of this character and the world that he lives in. So how do I look at it through a Marxist lens to figure out the story that I'm barely figuring out looking at it through the Guillermo del Toro lens.
I have the opinion that we definitely believe that politics is even the absence of politics is politics.
Yeah.
And so there's always politics involved.
There's always something involved like that, yeah.
And with a narrative, but these narratives are still written by people. And so I don't think, I mean, you can have a Marxist critique on a story, but I don't know if there's always going to be a Marxist, a materialist message. Because a lot of times we're dealing with fucking shitlibs.
Yeah.
Who
are idealists.
It's all about ideas. Mm-hmm. And morality plays sometimes, and sometimes the stuff, that kind of stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So there might be like a comment here, you know, like Black Adam. We talked about how like there are specific points that were made, mm-hmm. but I don't think I could give you a Marxist analysis of the entire fucking movie.
Yeah.
Because it's also all over the place times. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's always, I do agree that like there are choices that are made. Why World War One?
Mm-hmm.
Why not 1960?
Right.
Like, these are choices. What are they?
Or
made?
The 1800s, or you know, whatever, right?
What that and that place, time and a place. What's going? That's why I was. That's like. That's why when we talked, when I asked what year the cartoon Pinocchio came out,
mm-hmm.
because if you can find what time it came out, then you can maybe think of the influences and again, all of that's wrapped into that. But I don't think that every. And, you know,
well, it's not that they would have a message that's Marxist, but like if you're looking at it through the Marxist lens, what's the message that you're getting from whatever's there, right?
Oh,
that's what.
And so that means that even if it is a bad shit lib.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can still, yeah, get, you can still use that lens to get something from it. But it's just like, you know, like I haven't even been able to analyze it on just the Guillermo del Toro level, yeah. You know, like why did he make the choices that he made? I mean, just making Pinocchio a little shit was saying something, right? And so it's just an interesting take and concept the way he did it. So, you know, like, I want to go back and look at it through a materialist lens to see what it is saying in that respect as well. So
to me, Del Toro is almost like a comic book illustrator.
Yeah.
As a storyteller, because sometimes he makes decisions just because
it looks good. Yeah.
Like Pan's Labyrinth. The point to that was the dude holding the hand eyes.
Yeah.
As much as it was the little girl's adventure. So some of the choices I think he makes literally is just to get a cool visual.
Yeah.
Too.
Agreed. But he wrote, he did Pinocchio with someone, like writing wise. So it's not just his take. Okay. Sorry.
True. No. That's, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
That's true. I've been re-listening to Kingdom Come, DC's Kingdom Come.
Mm-hmm.
They did a full cast audiobook back in the day that my dad had.
Mm-hmm.
I found a copy of it, and I've been re-listening. You know, I do the audiobooks as I go to sleep and stuff.
Yeah.
Man. It's held up as, like, some kind of masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And narratively, there are some really good twists.
Yeah.
And beats that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got some fucked politics. And it's just like with DMZ. It's not that I disagree with the politics. Mm-hmm. As in, like, the politics don't make sense.
Right.
Like, Kurt Busiek is trying for something. I mean, Superman, I don't want to go too hard on this specifically, but like, Superman is obviously the collective, the example of someone trying to create a collective.
Mm-hmm.
And those who don't, he literally puts in something he calls a gulag. So Kurt Busiek is definitely trying to play ideas against one another,
mm-hmm.
but like, it's so muddied.
Mm-hmm.
And so like,
is it like muddied because you have the feeling he doesn't understand it, or is muddied because when he tried to put it together, he couldn't find a good way to adapt the ideas into the story?
when I run into this, I go and I try to look up interviews that might give me insight into their political views so that I can adjust my glasses to possibly what they intended.
Right.
But, you know, the problem with, and this is what I find with a lot of liberals, because I had some run-ins during the break as well. I actually tried to socialize and it didn't go well. But they don't have their shit fully thought out yet. Like, to me, that's the biggest difference with having the outlook that I do now as opposed to when I was a Daily Show liberal.
Right.
Is it was all these like half thought out ideas that I placed on the shelf and I thought I understood things, or I rocked around with humility that I don't know anything because I haven't taken the time to learn anything.
Right.
But I still like make decisions and have a philosophy outlook based on that. And as now I've looked at these things. I've attacked them from different angles. I've learned the history. I've learned I've started to turn these ideas into three-dimensional objects that I can now actually hold and look at and have a coherence from one object to another to the next. Whereas I feel like a lot of liberals, because they haven't taken the time yet to learn how these things are connected. They're just dealing with amorphous, fuzzy, almost gas-like ideas, and they're trying to operate the world with those things.
Right.
So I think Kurt Busiek possibly, again, going to look up some interviews. I don't know anything about his personal. This is a political book. You can't not say it's not a political book.
Right.
And so he's trying to say something. I just don't know what it is because it's so muddied. And it could possibly be muddied because of his capacity of understanding the politics. He just hears collective, that's communism, communist Ted gulags. Because I feel like Superman's point of view, which has proven to be wrong somehow. I mean, right away, Angel, his idea of politics, obviously, is he thinks the UN has any kind of authority. Because that's the governmental body that Superman either comes into conflict with or eventually joins. As if they mean anything to anybody.
In the real world.
In the real world. So it's like, right there, it's hard to take him seriously. Then, you know, there are a lot of themes, and this is what I touched on with Armageddon and Deep Impact and The Core. This also came out around the same time, and people really did have this, like, doomsday vibe when it came to the year 2000. This is what Kingdom Comes about. So it's got all those measurements, so I can't tell. I can't tell yet, but I'm, you know, you go to sleep listening to an audiobook, you're listening to it over and over again.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Batman is against Superman, but I can't tell what the fuck he represents.
Right.
But he represents something to Kurt Busiek, the writer. I just don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's another part of analyzing things with that materialist view, is just you're dealing with
trying to figure out what the fuck they were trying to do in the first place.
I do definitely believe, you know, for all we know, as explicit as the Black Adam writers were, they don't know what they were saying.
Right.
So there is a part of like, well, I don't give a shit what you intended.
Right.
This is what I see and I'm going to use that. And then the purpose of that, and I think the best goal and the most lofty expectation we could have for doing this podcast is that people can take those examples and express them to other people to bring them to class consciousness. So I don't even give a fuck what the fuck they intended.
Right.
Like, it's just great to use these types of examples because I think pop culture is a great pry bar into people's minds like that. But yeah, so talk about like just Kingdom Come, like, man, this is awesome and a piece of work. Look, Alex Ross's art still hasn't changed. This is still amazing.
Right. 100%.
And that Superman logo is like ingenious, simplicity and genius rolled into one. And you have a flawed Superman, so I'm a fan. But as far as the story goes, I've been listening to it with my new brain and just going,
What the fuck?
And this goes back to what I said about Black Widow, where the Secretary of State's there at a sting operation. Right. This is why no one knows how civics work. Like, this is why no one knows how anything works, because of, you know, I'm hearing this phrase a lot, lazy writing And this is that lazy writing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now I've gone into comic books and audiobooks.
All the things.
I've talked for too long.
Let's do our countdown.
Sure. You want to do I don't know about you, but because of this time of year is pretty sparse, you want to do one that's out a ways?
Yeah, we can keep going.
It's the first of the year, too, so it's like stuff to look out for.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of also still talked about that in the last episode, but it's been so long since we did it. Might as well, right? Might as well.
And they got new stuff that's been announced since then.
Oh. Do they?
I mean, I don't remember mentioning some of this stuff. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
12 days. We've got the last season of The Flash. And let's face it, the end of CW. We've all seen the Gotham Knights trailer. This is all trash. I mean, have you been keeping up with Naomi?
I haven't watched the second season.
I haven't heard any buzz about it.
Is it back on?
I have no idea. That's what I'm asking you.
I don't think it is. I don't think there's a second season yet then.
In 20 days, we got the third and last season of Picard, which, you know, talking about how old people were a couple episodes ago, they like filmed this show and this season immediately because they were like, this motherfucker's 90.
When I saw
Patrick Stewart
in Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, he does not have long to keep acting.
No. I watched the last season of Picard, and during the firefight, he don't even get to hold a fake gun.
Huh.
He's just running like an old man between the different people with guns going, you get that? Shoot that guy. And then running. Like, he doesn't move like, he moves like an old man now.
Mm.
To the point where you're not even going to try to like play that off with some kind of movie magic heroism thing.
Mm, okay.
21 days. I didn't watch the first season, but it's the second and last season of Carnival Row. But I should. This is a show this is a show that plays with genres that I should watch.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that I know who watches TV said that I should watch it.
In 33 days, we've got the third season of The Mandalorian, where we're going to see a lot of Mandalore, which I'm excited about. 38 days. This is March. The second season of HBO's Perry Mason.
Oh, finally. Dang.
Yeah. Which
this
is,
was a COVID show.
Probably like COVID it didn't delayed.
Feel. Yeah. Delayed because the first of COVID season
came out. In 56 days towards the end of March, we're finally getting that second season of Yellow Jackets.
Why is that not on my list?
What's up with the dog shrine? Who's eating who? What the fuck happened? All of it. Can't wait. 58 days, we got the fourth season of Succession. Beginning April, we got the second season of Schmigadoon.
Did you watch the first season?
I did with Stephanie. I can't remember if it was annoying or I liked it.
It feels annoying. I've watched the first two or three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the only other show I got is Fear the Walking Dead, season 8, May 14th. I'm very far behind that because how I procure television changed in the middle of that show. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't caught up to where I left off.
Okay. All right.
That's all I got. What do you got?
In 5 hours, I have Lockwood & Co. That is in London, where the most gifted teenage ghost hunters venture nightly into perilous combat with deadly spirits. Amidst the many corporate adult-run agency, one stands alone. Independent of any commercial imperative or adult supervision, a tiny startup run by two teenage boys and a newly arrived supremely psychically gifted girl, a renegade trio destined to unravel a mystery that will change the course of history.
Very libertarian language.
Lockwood & Co. That's on Netflix. In 5 hours, The Proud Family, Louder and Prouder. Second season on Disney Plus. I also had The Flash final season. In 12 days, Not Dead Yet. Follows Nell Serrano played by Gina Rodriguez, broke, newly single and feeling old as a self-described 40-something disaster who works to restart the life and career she left behind 10 years ago. When she lands the only job she could find, writing obituaries, Nell starts getting life advice from an unlikely source.
You've watched a lot of television. Do you remember a previous time when all the characters were around our age all the time?
Yeah.
I don't. I feel like 30 was the oldest. Like, Friends weren't 40.
No. I see. No, the characters. Where the character's age was supposed to be. Yeah, like, no. Most of the time they were younger. And now they are older.
Like, 40 is the new 30.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. 40. And, yeah. In 12 days, the last season of A Million Little Things, season 5. 14 days, Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. I'm so excited for that one.
I need to put that, yep.
In 20 days, Animal Control, which stars Joel McHale on Fox. So Community was another rewatch that I did during the break. And it is not as funny as I remember it being. Kind of like Abed is still funny. Try and Abed are still funny. Mm-hmm. And then there's some funny stuff, but usually it revolves around Abed or the Dean.
Yeah.
But like episodes that held my attention for when I was, you know, even like, shit, when did it come out? Like 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Held my attention. Like, this time it's just like, it's kind of boring. I don't know. But he's going to be in a new show, Animal Control, season 1 starting. I also had Carnival Row. I have Animaniacs season 3.
I had that too, but I didn't say it.
Oh, okay. Snowfall in 26 days. The storm is coming and his name is Crack. It's the final season, season 6.
Have you been watching that?
I have not been watching it, but like I read something that made me want to watch it, and then I put it on my list and realized that it was had so many seasons.
What is it up to now?
It's season 6.
Oh, Schneiser.
The final season.
I watched the first season, and it just didn't hold me enough to go to the second one.
Okay. I mean, that might be the same, but let's see. Bel Air in 27 days.
I haven't even touched that yet.
Haven't started that one either. But I have been watching a lot more Peacock lately, which is... I mean, that's where Parks and Rec is on. But like, then I've been like kind of taking sneak peeks at other things. I watched this this comedy about a girl group that they were a girl group in, you know, Carson Daly's MTV time or whatever, whenever that was. And then... like one of their members died and then they kind of got back into obscurity. And so a hip hop rapper sampled one of their songs. I think they were like Five Ever or something. and so then they tried to get back out there to be a band again. But it's what's her name that was on Cougar Town? The young younger blonde woman.
Oh.
That ended up with Travis.
I think I know who you're talking to just because I saw advertisements and I did not watch Cougar Town.
Yeah. I also had The Mandalorian. In 33 days, I have True Lies. Shadow and Bone season 2. Nancy Drew season 4 in 124 days. The After Party season 2 on Apple TV. So that's one I think I'm going to put that on the list too to watch. The first season, it seemed interesting and like it might actually be funny, so we'll see. But it's like one story told from the point of view of like 7 people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bunch of other stuff. You said most of them, but I'm pretty excited about, well, I'm kind of excited about True Lies. Ginger Gonzaga is going to be in it. Omar Benson Miller. These are people that I like seeing in TV shows. You know, Ginger Gonzaga was She-Hulk's assistant, legal assistant.
Yes.
Yeah, so True Lies, where this international spy and his wife, who is a regular person, the wife gets recruited once she finds out that he leads a double life. So I'm expecting like MacGyver-esque, you know, spy hijinks with a little bit of humor and argument. Thanks to Taibo and yoga, she has formidable skills, by the way.
Taibo. I can never think of that guy who did that without thinking of Billy, the last Billy Blank.
Yeah.
Was it?
I think
he,
so.
He was in the prologue to the awesome 90s action film, The Last Boy Scout, starring Damon Wayans,
yeah,
and Bruce Willis. And it, the movie opens with Billy Blank playing a running back during an NFL game who, right before he gets tackled, just pulls a fucking gun out and shoots the defensive line.
And what?
I think shoots himself. Like, because he was hopped up on drugs. Like, but it's so well shot and so, like, what the fuck? Last Boy Scout's one of my favorite movies. Like, old school.
Damon Wayans is the best one.
It never is. There were so many movies during the break where I was like, man, I want to watch fucking Brightburn. Mm-hmm. Like, where to watch Brightburn? Nowhere.
You can rent it.
I ain't renting shit, except for unless there's an obvious Marxist message. And then I'll tell you, you got to go rent it, because we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
What have you heard about The Menu?
Oh, I watched The Menu, too, yeah.
Is it good? Do I need to watch it? Does it have a Marxist message?
No.
All right. I will walk, not run.
I think I kind of want you to watch it because I do want your take on it.
All right.
Yeah, I want you to watch it.
Okay.
I have issues with it. Like I'm not in the this is great. I do like what happened, but yeah.
When's the next big Disney Plus show coming out? I guess it is Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah.
That's not the bit. No, the next like prestige television is The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
They usually have something going on. They don't usually have like this big of a gap, but
yeah,
the holidays really fucked shit up.
Well, so I mean, they brought out the Christmas special, and they did something else. I feel like they did something else, but I can't remember what.
Well, it looks like it's gonna be a slow start to the year, and then it's gonna pick the fuck up. I'm looking at Disney Plus's schedule right now, and it's like March, Mandalorian. Spring, Secret Invasion.
Ooh, I cannot wait to Secret Invasion.
Echo, Summer, Loki, Fall, Ironheart, Fall, the X-Men cartoon. I mean, that's more like me, but Winter, Agatha.
Oh, Wakanda Forever is coming to the channel on February 1st.
I saw that. Ahsoka, her show is going to be TBD 2023. There's going to be a lot of shit in 2023, but it's just going to take a second to warm up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta talk about Black Panther at some point too.
Yeah, we can talk about it after the February.
After it comes out. Because then we do a rewatch.
Agatha, Coven of Chaos in the winter.
So that's what we got to look forward to. Keep a lookout. You know, I was this years old when I found out there's a Walker. I thought Walker sucked and everybody agreed it sucked. Why did he get a spinoff? There's Walker Independence.
I don't know.
During the 1800s.
Is it still Jared
Padalecki? No, because it's like a, it's like a, it's a, it's a female lead.
Oh, okay.
Set in the late 1800s, Walker Independence follows Abby Walker, an affluent Bostonian whose husband is murdered before her eyes while on their journey out west. On her quest for revenge, Abby crosses paths with Hoyt Rollins, a lovable rogue in search of a purpose. Abby and Hoyt's journey takes them to Independence, Texas, where they encounter diverse, eclectic residents running from their own troubled past and chasing their dreams. So instead of Padalecki's like, hey, ain't you that guy with the dead wife? It's going to be, hey, are you the lady with the dead husband? I have not watched one episode of that show, but that was the trailer for a good 2.5 minutes.
That's hey, what you see.
Didn't your wife die? You can't protect nobody. You can't even protect your wife. Oh, my wife's dead. I bet he don't do one roundhouse kick. Bullshit.
I don't know.
All right. Well, if you are wondering if there is another break and you're like, oh my God, I could use some in front of the telly in my life, and you don't mind reading, we have a Facebook group where the show happens when the show's not happening. You can find it in Facebook by just searching in front of the telly. We are the purple icon with the television.
Yeah, that's us. And you can find me on the interwebs at In Front of the Telly and making snide comments in the Facebook group because Jacob posts all the trailers. I post all the memes.
And news.
And news.
Nice. Yeah, Doom Patrol's going away, guys. So.
God.
Appreciate it while it's here.
Yeah.
HBO,
like,
they might just fucking delete
literally,
that shit.
I was rewatching Doom Patrol as well so that I could get to the new season because I've forgotten so much of what happened. Like, I had like a kind of an idea, but I've forgotten a lot of it.
There was a lot. I think I had to go back to watch the previous season finale before I started this new season because, I mean, there was a lot of time in between every season that's since it's been on.
Not only a lot of time, but like I feel like COVID cut off the end of one season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm two seasons behind.
And I've tried to get caught up on Titans. And I'm still on the last season because I'm just so boring. It's such a slog.
I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm watching all the Doom Patrol now that it's over so that hopefully I can catch all of it before they get rid of it, but it's just like, I want to get rid of HBO Max so bad. Oh, let me tell you my biggest pet peeve about Paramount. Wait, is it Paramount Plus?
It's not the greatest app, I'll tell you.
One. Two. It takes 2 whole minutes for you to get to your next show. It doesn't take that long, but it's a 30-second whatever, right? And yeah. So my husband's like, maybe they have a thing in the contract where you have to watch it, the credits, so that you know that they need to let them watch the credits so that they get, you know, I don't know why.
Credit.
and I was like, maybe, but it's like, dang it. So basically we kept joking about it. And the length of time that it takes to get to the next show kept getting bigger and bigger. So, like, the last joke he made was, he's like, yeah, you get a whole hour and a half between the show so you can go get popcorn, use the bathroom. I was like, no, they give you so much time. You can drive to the movie theater, get movie theater popcorn, come back, and then you'll be ready to watch it. But it's just like 30 seconds.
It's like, even so hard to find your show.
Yeah.
Because we watch, you know, Star Trek. We're gonna watch it as it comes out, and so the following week, because they want you to watch all the credits, they might not have labeled the last episode as all the way playing through.
Yeah,
and then but even pulling up the show to begin with, mm-hmm. you got to do like a trick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very good app. Stephanie hates Paramount Plus probably more than any other app.
Peacock app doesn't show me my most recently watched.
Wow.
So well, it's like now I gotta fucking search so I can watch Parks and Rec because it's not at the bottom.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, sometimes those like recently watch lists are annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu is probably the best one at it, but mm-hmm. oh my God, I have taken Chippendales off that list. I watched all the episodes.
Right.
But for some reason, I go to continue watch. It is the first one. And I'm like, what am I watching? The last 30 seconds of credits?
Yeah.
And I've gone on the desktop and I've said, take it off.
Take
my
it
list.
Off, yeah.
By the way, every app should have that option and yeah. they don't. HBO. Take it off my list. And then I was on Apple TV and it came up today.
It was the first one.
Like, why the fuck? Like, first.
And then like Hulu is weird because like it doesn't put it in order of the most recently watched, right? I mean, our most recently watched on Hulu will always be Bob's Burgers or Futurama. One of those two will be the first one, right? Mm-hmm. But like I've also been watching Schitt's Creek again, mm-hmm. and Schitt's Creek again, right? But like Abbott Elementary is earlier than Schitt's Creek. I haven't watched Abbott Elementary since season one ended because this mm-hmm. season two isn't over. And so it's like, no, Schitt's Creek should be in front of Abbott Elementary, but Abbott Elementary has new episodes that are coming out regularly. So it keeps showing up earlier. And it's just like, yes, I want to watch it, but no, I do not want to watch it because mm-hmm. anyway, I got to stop complaining. We really do need to sit down and talk about, our view of the apps that we look at these again in because
just review. We'll do an app review.
App review, yeah. What's your best? Anyway,
do you have any hacks? Because these apps are so bad that you need hacks.
Yeah.
And which one do you prefer? Like, do you prefer the Apple TV app? I'm guessing mm-hmm. the Roku app would work similar, or do you prefer desktop?
Yeah.
How could desktop be better? Do you prefer iOS?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are all things that can be helpful because I think people watch them differently.
In a variety of ways, yeah.
But they all have subtitles because I found out because of dynamic shit. Forgot the other word. But
yeah.
Here's what we learned from that video. It's not going away.
Yeah.
So that was that guy's conclusion was like, get used to it.
Yeah, I think everything's on subtitles for us. And even when we did movie, so for my birthday, I always do John Wick. I always watch John Wick. And I had a birthday party where I rented out the movie theater and we had food and stuff and we watched John Wick. And it was like, it's necessary to put the subtitles in. But they also do it in the movie, too. Like, there's certain times where what is being said is on the screen from the movie, in the movie itself, not just the subtitles, right? Mm-hmm. So that was also fun. But, yeah. Anyway.
This is a long goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this long-ass show.
Which is another good 90s action film. and remember...
We'll be watching.
Speaking of what, I'm starting.